See if we can get some of your direction. Okay. Please take your Bibles. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I'll be reading verses 10 and the first half of 11. Now, reverence to God, please stand as his word is read. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You may be seated. Sunday, we were looking at verse 9, and it starts with the word therefore. And we looked at what the therefore was there for, talking about everything in chapter 5 and what Jesus has been teaching about our attitude we need to have. And then also that we are salt and light in the earth. We also need to know that our heart attitude is what matters, not just an outward action of keeping God's law. It needs to be kept in our heart. And then we looked at forgiveness, how God forgives us. And then we also looked at we should not be doing our actions just for show, like the Pharisees do, going out and giving your offering so people know you're giving your offering, doing your prayers so people know you're praying, praying for a long time so people go, oh, look at that person. He prays a long time, or repeating prayers over and over again. God knows what we need. So therefore, you should pray like this. Now remember, it doesn't say pray this. Pray like this. This is a pattern for us to follow, showing us in very brief pattern. Remember, Jesus said some people think that they can be recognized because of their long prayers. Jesus gave us an example of a very short prayer. And it starts out with knowing who we're praying to, our Father. And it was neat that it wasn't a coincidence, just what God's doing, that on Father's Day, we dealt with the verse that dealt with our Father. And the word in front of Father is our, not somebody else's Father, but our Father. And Father conveys an intimate relationship, not like the gods, the false gods of the Roman Empire or the Greek Empire or any other place in the world. They were gods that sat somewhere else and manipulated people's life for their own enjoyment, requiring, in some places, sacrifice of human life, as in Central America or as in Palestine during the time when Moloch was worshipped. Well, our Father, and then remember where he's at, in heaven. Not a Father limited to the ways of earth, but our Father in heaven. He is the God that created everything. Oh, yeah. Just got a little bit darker. Excuse me. God is our Father, and his name, your name, it says, be honored as holy. In Scripture, when you see name, it's more than just what we think of as a name. It's all that God is. Everything about God. And when we pray, we're told to pray in Jesus' name. That means that that's the same type of endorsement that God would approve of our prayer. So it sort of limits what you're praying for. If you're praying, saying, God, you're going to endorse this. Give me $1 million in Jesus' name. As long as I say in Jesus' name, I get it. No, that's not how it works. That's not praying in God's name. Praying in God's name is this what God would ask for in my situation? And then it says, we pray that God's name, who God is honored as being holy and divine. A lot of people today use God's name, but it's not as being honored as divine and holy. And that brings us to our passage today. Your kingdom come. Now we got to think about this for a minute. What is the kingdom of God? Are we waiting, or rather, is God waiting for the universe to come under his control? No, he's the one that created it. God's not waiting. He's already the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So it's not talking about God waiting for himself to become coronated as king. Over in England, Queen Elizabeth died, and her son Charles, they had a big ceremony to make him officially the king. He was waiting for his mom to die so he could be king. Not that he was wishing his mom to die, but he was not king as long as Elizabeth was queen. God's not waiting for anybody to get out of the way so he can be king. It's not talking about that, and it's not a new concept, God's kingdom, in the New Testament. Let's look at Genesis chapter 5. There were people that were looking and understanding the kingdom of God, and Genesis 5 and verse 24. One person that was looking and following God's way in verse 24 of Genesis 5. No? Yeah, there we go. Turned one too many pages. Enoch walked with God, then he was not there, because God took him. And then on to Genesis 49 and verse 18. I wait for your salvation, Lord, the words of Abraham. And if we look in Hebrews chapter 11, we see that the Old Testament saints were waiting for the consummation of God's kingdom. They understood about the kingdom of God, but they were waiting. Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 1. Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For by it our ancestors won God's approval. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that were not visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was approved as a righteous man, because God's approved his gifts. And even though he was dead, he still speaks through faith. And through the rest of the chapter, we see how people looked with faith, and it tells us they did not receive what they looked forward to, but they waited expectantly for it to come. Well, God's kingdom, back to Matthew chapter 6, is not a physical kingdom. God is not waiting to be king. It's God's rule in the heart of men. God is already in charge of everything. He desires that we accept his rule in our lives. He is not going to force us to follow his way. He could. It's within the power of God to make us do his will. But he isn't. Scripture tells us he desires that everyone repents. Well, God, his kingdom is what we're praying for his rule being recognized by people. How many times have you heard people say, I'm not sure what I'm going to do until I check what God wants me to do? Or I'm concerned about what God's will is here. Even one of our least orthodox religious founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin, when they were at a meeting looking to form a constitution, Franklin had the words, you know, we've been sitting here arguing, and I'm paraphrasing. We just had a war to win our independence. We beseech God every day. But we've been sitting here arguing, trying to form a government, and we haven't even bothered to consult God. We have a chaplain in our House of Representatives, Senate, in Washington. They haven't always been figureheads. They've been there because our representatives sought God's will in what should be done. Well, God calls us to seek his kingdom. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The disciples asked Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom? And in Matthew 18, verse 1, he answered their question. Matthew 18, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, so who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a child and had him stand among them. Truly I tell you, he said, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Unless we recognize, as a child does, that we are not in charge of everything, doesn't mean we can't be annoying. Children sometimes are annoying, wanting their way, but they know they're not in charge. They're crying for somebody else that's in charge of their bottle, their food, their toys, their diaper changing, whatever, that they need help. We need, as a child, to recognize God is in charge. And in Matthew 22, Jesus is again teaches about the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 22 and verse 1. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to summon those invited to the banquet, but they didn't want to come. Again, he sent out other servants and said, tell those who are invited, see, I prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent out his troops, killed those murderers, and burned down their city. Then he told his servants, the banquet is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go then to where the roads exit the city and invite everyone you find to the banquet. People were invited to the kingdom of heaven, but many rejected who were invited. Jesus tells us that he wished that Jerusalem would repent. How often I've longed to gather you under my wings like a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing, in Luke 17, 21. God does not force people to do his will, but he calls us to do his will. He calls us to pray that his will be done on earth like it is already being done in heaven. The angels in Psalm 103:20 are described as following the will of God. Psalm 103 and verse 20. Bless the Lord, all his angels of great strength, who do his word, obedient to his command. That's the kind of will, the kind of kingdom accomplishment that God is desiring. Your will be done on earth as is already being done in heaven. Jesus knew that people were going to reject. He didn't go, well, I can't do anything about it. I'm not going to bother telling anybody. Well, when his will wasn't being done in the temple in Jerusalem, he cleansed it. He made a cord, drove out the animals, overturned the money changers' tables, and told the people with the birds to get out. In Matthew 21, 12 and 13, God's desire, we see, is that all repent. Look at with me at Luke 13:34. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. And then in John chapter 5 and verse 40, but you are not willing to come to me so that you may have life. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 4. Or start verse 3. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. And in verse 12, or chapter 12 of Romans, verse 1. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not conform to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. God's desire and our prayer, he tells us, should be that his will is accomplished in the hearts of men. Your kingdom come. God's already the king. We're not going to make him king. We need to acknowledge that he's king. And we need to do his will because we desire to do his will. There are some people that do the will of those in authority over them because they say it's hopeless to fight against the will of whatever. Many of us, when we think about taxes, we'd rather not pay them. But we know that it's futile to try to fight paying your taxes. There are people in authority in the military that you obey their commands because they're a higher rank. One of the sayings I was told in the military was, you salute the rank, not the individual. The person had the authority. That's not the way we're supposed to be to God. We're not supposed to be doing his will because We think it's futile to avoid it. We want to do his will because that's our desire. That's what it's talking about here in Romans 12. We will know what God's will is as we have our minds renewed. God gave us free will. Didn't call us to be robots that are just following a program. God called us to follow him because that's our desire. And God can change our desires to want to follow his will, which his word tells us is better for us than anything we can imagine. In Romans 8:28, it tells us he withholds no good thing from those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Now, that doesn't mean all things are good, but he has a good end result. So back to our passage, verse 9 of Matthew 6. Therefore, you should pray like this, our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God has a place prepared for us to spend eternity where we don't have to worry about air conditioning. There is a place that God has prepared for those who rebel against him, and air conditioning won't even cut the edge off the fires of hell, but he desires that no one be there. What is your choice? In just a moment, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, communion, reminding us what God did to allow us entry into his heaven. Do this in remembrance of me. We need to remember what Jesus has done. David.